It is great to be here this morning. So glad to see the brethren here at the North Jefferson congregation. I'd like for you to be turning in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And from that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, and half held spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. And the man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. I love the imagery that we find here. We find with one hand they built the wall, and with the other hand was secured with a sword. They're ready to defend what they were building. And they weren't going to be distracted. The first point of the lesson today is they built the wall with one hand. They built the wall with one hand. They had in their mind to build up the wall. Now, how does this apply to Christianity today? To Christians today, we are striving to build our spiritual wall. Brick by brick, as we study and understand the oracles of God. As we put what becomes days, months, and years of service to the Father with study and with effort, brick by brick, we are seeking the truth from God's Word that will build our faith stronger and stronger. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And I feel this verse also helps set the tone for the lesson. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Diligently serving God, working to build up our Bible knowledge. It's important for us to know our Bible. It's important for us to know what God expects from us. And we can look to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 and see what type of people pleased God. We look to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, and we find a people that were hearing things, yet were going back and searching those things out. In Acts 17 and verse 11, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We need to be a people that are people of the book. We need to be a people who look to the Bible for guidance. Not seeking tradition, not seeking what makes us comfortable, but seeking ultimately to please God in every facet of our lives. If we're going to be Christians, that should be our goal, is to please God. And God no longer miraculously talks to people. We're not going to run into a burning bush. We're not going to have miraculous knowledge because there's no more need for that. We have the inspired Word of God right here. We have the answers to the test right here. It's up to us to study them. I thought back to Joshua. If you'll turn with me back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is to make the law of God his rule. And we can understand when we look back, hindsight's 20/20, we see the times that the Jews fell was when they didn't hold to God's word. And verses 8 and 9 are particularly powerful. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. He's to encourage himself with the promise and the presence of God. He was to understand the statutes, to know what God expected of him as he led the people into the promised land. We look to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. We see what this attitude of being diligent workers led to. And this is something that was very exciting to me. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. They worked hard. They didn't work a day or two a week. they put forth ultimate effort and built up a wall that was destroyed in 52 days. In 52 days. If we are going to build a sustaining faith, it is going to be built on more than 2 or 3 days a week. If we're going to build a sustaining faith, we must be more diligent than just being part-time. I like this tweet founded on Twitter. Don't expect a full-time God if you are a part-time Christian. Don't expect a full-time God if you're a part-time Christian. There are so many people today that say, well, I will give up 2 days a week. I will give up 3 days a week for an hour or two. Those are the days that I will give up. I hope they teach something that is a benefit to me. And if they don't, why did I waste my time? Worship is the icing on the cake. This is the time where we come together to build one another up, to stir one another up to good works. That we do as the Bible commands us to do. And while we don't seek a miraculous feeling of goodness, I feel good knowing I've done what God expects. That excites me, and it should invigorate you in your walk. We consider the effort that was put in by those people, and they built that wall. Spiritually, we must do the same thing. With one hand, we must be ready to build our spiritual wall. We need to be ready to secure our wall of faith. And it's one thing for us to be able to study. It's another thing for us to be able to put it in practice. We see that they were ready to defend themselves with the other. Some are going to come along and try to cast doubts on your faith. I'm sure we could ask our new converts if they have people question their faith. And hopefully we're preparing and building up our new converts just as we would our seasoned Christians to be able to give an answer with Scripture. With Scripture. I love being a member of the New Testament church. I love when someone asks me a question, I can turn to Scripture for the answer. Opinions don't matter when it comes to the Word of God. We turn back to the Word of God to see what it says if we're going to be members of the New Testament church. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be reading from the second part of verse 2 all the way to verse 10. And I have in my notes right now, halftime speech, baby. Because you read through this and it's exciting. Because it is time for us to put into action what we are building up, for us to defend our faith. When we look to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and following, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truth, speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Made the hair on my neck stand up. We're a people that they call us bigots. They call us small-minded. They'll call us ignorant. They'll call us old-fashioned. They will call us different types of things. They can call us whatever they want. We're the winners. As morals of our society continue to change and continue to degrade, we stay with the morality that God gave for us. We are unmoving. We are the ones that are secure on God's Word. Let us stay there. Let us stay secure. In Nehemiah, there was always the risk of battle coming. They had someone there ready with a trumpet, ready to blast that trumpet to go and fight the people that were trying to tear down that wall. The people had the weapon in hand as they worked. We need to be a people that are ready to give an account for ourselves. We need to be a people, when someone asks us a question, that we are ready to give an answer. Let's look to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. We find that it's imperative that if we live the Christian life, that we do so in such a way that when we do defend our faith, they can't say, "But you don't practice it." People are turned off by hypocrisy. We need to ensure that we're not turning people off. Let's look to 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." If we were to ask many people in Mount Pleasant today, "How come you don't attend church services anywhere?" We'll say, "Because people up there are hypocrites." Are there people that are hypocrites? Absolutely. To an extent, we all are. We should strive not to be, but we all sin and fall short. And that's no way to justify it. But we're not perfect. That's one thing we have to get across, is the church, we're not perfect people. We're imperfect people striving to do our best, striving to head toward heaven, seeking, studying, growing, working. That is the type of people that we need to be. If we look to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, we're going to see how we can respond to people. There are going to be people that are going to question your faith. We need to be ready to defend it, but not only defend our faith, but do so effectively. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." If we do things the wrong way, we can drive a wedge between someone and their salvation for eternity. We can tell the truth, but we can do so in a way that makes people not want to be around us. And how horrible would that be? Let's look to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. In the previous verses, if we're going to give some context, Paul had told Timothy to flee the youthful passions and pursue righteousness. As we build up that wall of faith, we should change. We should continue to grow and be more godly, to be better Christians as we grow older. That's how we should be. We should continually be in a state of growth. And it is a shame when someone is obedient to the gospel, yet they aren't growing. They're not moving. They're not trying to not only grow, but to reach out. We look to 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. "And let the Lord's servant, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will." We share the truth in love. If there comes a time that we do need to defend our faith, which will come, but we need to be a people who are ready to give an answer with Scripture, but also to do it in an effective way so that people will want to be obedient to it. That doesn't mean sugarcoat it. That doesn't mean change it. But we don't have to yell and holler when you have the truth. We need to be a people that with one hand are diligently striving to build our faith, build up that spiritual wall, yet with the other hand we're ready to defend it. One thing that we also find that was going on in the time of Nehemiah is they would not be distracted. There were many distractions at that time. I played football in high school, and I use the term play loosely. Most of the time was on the sidelines with some sort of brace on my knee. And our head coach was John Lanius. I know that name may not mean something to a lot of people in Mount Pleasant, but it meant a lot to the small town I grew up in Arkadelphia. In 1987, under head coach John Outlaw, who ended up going down to Lufkin and winning a few more state championships there, John Lanius was the starting quarterback that led their team to the state championship. And it was the last state championship that Arkadelphia won. And Coach Lanius took a scholarship to go to Southern Arkansas University, the Mule Riders, and got into coaching. Coached at Hamburg, then he came home. And I loved how Coach Lanius could give us little one-liners that even resonate to this day. Little life lessons to learn. One of the things that he always pressed us for was to be accountable. To be accountable. Understand that your actions have consequences. And we were the Badgers. We were the Arkadelphia Badgers. So I remember on the whiteboard, be accountable, be a man, be a Badger. That was one of Coach Lanius' credos. Another one that he didn't really write on the boards, but one that I remember vividly, is that the haters are out there. The haters are out there. I remember we were about to have a meeting in one of the classrooms, and the teacher happened to still be in the classroom. And she got up and was erasing something on the board and jokingly said, "You know, I'm gonna teach y'all some football today." One of our players said, "You can't even teach what you're supposed to teach. How are you going to teach us football?" Coach Lanius ripped into us for that. And it wasn't me that said it. It was not me. Here we are 16 years later. I didn't say it. But he said, "There are people that already don't like the football program. And when you say stuff like that, it makes people not even want to get y'all a new pair of shorts." The principle was the haters are out there. Even if you don't do anything, there are going to be people that hate Christianity if we're going to go ahead and make that jump. We could look in our public school system now. There are teachers that don't like football. It takes money from other things, and we could do a whole other lesson when it comes to that. But ultimately, there are people that will not like football, regardless. So it doesn't matter how upstanding those football players are. It doesn't matter how much they give back to the community. If you mention, "I'm going to spend some money on football," why? It's a waste of time. We look to Christianity and it can be the same way. We become Christians and there are already people that are going to hate you. We become Christians and there are going to be people that are going to argue with you just to be mean. They're going to do things that are just mean. They're going to do things to try to distract you from serving God. Yesterday was a pretty scary day politically here in America. I went over it in class. I won't go over it again from the pulpit. But there were a few different things that happened that were scary. That makes you wonder what's going to happen in America next. And there are going to be more people. There are some people who don't like Christianity but stay quiet. There's going to come a time where they're emboldened, that they're going to be in the majority and we are going to be dealt a hand of persecution. We need to not be distracted or scared of that. We need to be a people who are ready to stand up for what we believe, regardless of what the physical consequences are. We look to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And we find there were two different men, Sanballat and Tobiah. And there were different people that were also against what was going on, but they wanted to distract the work that was going on in Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, "Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry. and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brother and the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" And Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, "Yes, what they're building, if a fox goes up on it, it will break down the stone wall." As they were diligently serving God, people were standing back and belittling their efforts. And they were belittling their efforts because it made them mad. We're going to see that happen today. We build our faith, and people are going to make snide comments. They're going to say things that are hurtful, but you can't be distracted by that. Use opportunities to teach when those come up. And sometimes you just have to show love. But we can look back to the root of what was going on. Sanballat and Tobiah were emboldened. What happened at first? Let's look to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the wall of Jerusalem was going forward and the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it." To cause confusion in it. Their hate started before the work even began. They heard that plans were going forward and they weren't happy about it. We may have friends that find out that we're Christians and all of a sudden they're not real pleased. Your friends are going to change. I love the treehouse rule. I love the treehouse rule. If you haven't written this down, write it down. Make your best friends Christians and make Christians your best friends. Make your best friends Christians and make Christians your best friends. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10, we see, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of Israel." They didn't like it. They threatened. They mocked. We're going to find that they lied. Let's look to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, we find that they lied to try to stop the work. They couldn't insult, that didn't stop it. They insulted, they mocked, they ridiculed, but the Jews kept building the wall. The Jews kept protecting the wall. So then it was time to try to get someone else to come in to stop it. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, "Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of the enemies heard that I had built up the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, 'Come and let us meet together in Hekaphirim in the plain of Ono.' But they intended to do me harm, and I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?' And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you're building the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together.' Then I sent him saying, 'No such things, as you say, have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands.'" The open letter is intriguing because normally they would seal their letters. The reason it was open was so that other people would read it. He wrote a lie down and wanted others to read it. That Nehemiah was going to try to overthrow the king, that he was saying he was the king, that they were coming back up, but it was a lie. He never said that. We're going to run into people that if they can't mock us, if they can't ridicule us, they're going to try to hit you some other way. They're going to lie. They're going to try to hurt your business. They're going to do things that are underhanded. but live above reproach. You live above reproach, and when people say bad things, they won't believe them. We can look to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 and find where our minds should always be. And if our minds are always in this place, some of these worldly arguments and fights won't affect us the way that they could. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have to choose our side. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. There are people today that will try their best to reach out to those that are hateful by watering down the gospel. And I can't help but think of theistic evolution. As we have people who claim to be Christians that will say that our God is not powerful enough to create the earth and everything in it in 6 days. That it took millions and millions of years. And they'll say that, well, you know, one day could have been a million years. Not really, if we consider the Hebrew. The word day that Moses wrote was a 24-hour period. Because you look to Exodus and he talks about a day, and I don't think he was talking about a million years. If we are going to not compromise, we believe what the Bible says. Scientists are going to continue to change their stance on things. And when they are proven wrong, they don't fess up to it. They move on to something else. If we are going to defend our faith, we don't compromise. We do what the Bible says, no more and no less. Now, the haters, they can distract us. But you know that we can also just distract ourselves as well, can't we? Everybody goes through hard times. And suffering can distract us. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Now, we distract ourselves with things that aren't good for us. Those can be bad things, sick family members, or those distractions can be hobbies. Can be things that are fun. Can be things that take us away from the Word of God, distract us from being diligent servants, while our wall crumbles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. You know, we bring a lot of suffering on ourselves, and it's not even for the kingdom. It's not even for the kingdom. As I mentioned before, a lot of stuff happened yesterday politically. And if I wanted to let it, I could cause it to ruin my day. But if I caused it to ruin my day, that would also cause it to ruin my family's day. And that ripple effect can go outward. Suffering affects those who are around us, and suffering can lead to distractions. We need to put a focus on the kingdom. Put a focus on the kingdom. As some of you know, I'm a big professional wrestling fan. Real shame. Wish you could have gotten to something that wasn't so lowbrow. WrestleMania is coming to Dallas this year. Biggest show of the year. But I'm not going to forsake the assembly to go watch a wrestling show. Not going to do it. We put God first. Hobbies go second. Distractions can come, but we don't need our favorite things to be what distract us from walking with God. We stop building our spiritual wall, and it's going to start to crackle. It's going to start to fall. So, well, I used to remember that. You know, I used to remember that scripture. How long has it been since you studied it? We need to be a people who are diligently going forward. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better to suffer for doing good. It should be God's will than for doing evil. If we're going to suffer, let it be for a good cause. Don't let it be for something that's going to melt away when the earth is destroyed. We look to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you will be able to endure it." I'd love to mix it up into politics. I'd love to argue and fight and bicker. But it's going to take my focus off of where it needs to be. And it can lead to sin. You get angry. Angry enough. We need to be a people who understand that there are going to be detractors. We stay focused. Not even letting ourselves, our fun things or other things distract us from going in the right direction. We have to do whatever it takes to secure our spiritual wall of faith. Are you building your wall as the Jews did in Nehemiah? Diligently? Building with one hand? Are you ready to defend your faith with the other? And are you going to be focused in this battle? That's up to you. I would encourage us all to stand strong, to study diligently, to be prepared to defend our faith, look for opportunities to share the gospel. And when persecutions come, we look to God. Let's be like Nehemiah. Be ready. The lesson is yours this morning. If you're hurting, if you haven't been building your spiritual wall as you should, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you're involved in sin, or you have any spiritual needs, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let us do whatever it takes to get you back on your spiritual feet. But if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one. The Bible has all the answers for how to become a Christian. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, as Luke 13:3 says, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Then being immersed into the water of your grave of baptism to walk in a newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state. If you'd like to be baptized, to put on Christ, to become a Christian, I would encourage you to do so today as we stand and as we sing.